Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now join us in studio. Book comes out today entitled Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. And that is author Jeff Perlman, multiple New York Times bestselling author. Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking the time out coming in this morning. We appreciate it.
You know, all the other places have Woodward, but you guys got Perlman.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
Bob who?
Yes. Jeff, what made you decide to dig in and write a book about the USFL?
I don't know how you guys felt about it. Like, when I was 10 years old in 1983, and I just loved the USFL. Like, loved the USFL. And I remember being a kid, and I grew up in Mayo Pack, New York, and in the Mayo Pack Library, and seeing Herschel Walker on the cover that said, hitting pay dirt, and it was him in a general's uniform.
Yep.
And I remember opening the magazine. I really remember this. It's not like BS. And seeing all the helmets, and it was like the Tampa Bay Bandits.
The logos were cool.
The logos were the best logos.
It was.
And you know when you're like a kid and certain things just jump out and grab you, and that was it. And then they started signing guys, you know, one guy after another. And I just wanted to go back in time and really kind of relive that.
And you know, Herschel Walker, I mean, you know, we all know the success he had in college at Georgia. When he came out, he was the man.
Yeah.
And then for him to end up there with the Generals was unbelievable. And I was a big USFL fan. I joke, I'm like, am I the only guy? You know, I
mean, two of us.
Yeah, two of us. But I'll name a guy. I'm sure you'll know who he is. But a guy that I love, one of my favorite guys, wasn't a quarterback or a running back or wide receiver. Irv Eatman for the Philadelphia Stars.
Wait, I'm going to tell you the craziest thing ever.
I loved Irv Eatman.
All right, so Irv, I interviewed for the book, obviously. Okay. Came out of UCLA, signed with the Stars.
Right.
Here's the craziest thing ever. My sister-in-law, Jessica, I'm not making this up. Her husband, Chris's.
Right.
Father's wife's.
Sounds like you're making this up, Jeff.
Daughter's husband is Irv Eatman. And in our house, we call him Uncle Irv.
Hold on.
Because of the
relationship. Wait, run that point.
That's awesome, by the way.
I swear to God, this is true. My wife's younger sister, Jessica.
Okay, married, so your sister-in-law. Your sister, not your sister.
Her husband's.
So that's your brother-in-law by marriage.
My brother.
I'm helping you out.
I appreciate that, actually. My brother-in-law's father's wife, second wife, his daughter is married to Irv Eatman. I kid you not.
Uncle Irv, he's 6'7". He's gigantic.
He actually 6'7". He played for the Jets briefly. I did
Chiefs too, I think, too.
Chiefs
right?
For a long time. Yeah. I did my website, I did in the countdown to this book, I did a top 25 USFL players day by day.
Yeah.
And Irv Eatman was like number 19. And sent me a DM and he wrote, we're going to have to argue about this at the next family reunion because I'm pissed off.
Man, that's awesome.
I would imagine, you know, our president, Donald Trump, it plays a major role, obviously, when you sit down and write about the history of the USFL.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, obviously, the demise of the USFL as well.
Yeah. So this is not a political statement.
Yeah.
It truly isn't. He ruined the USFL. And basically what happened is 1983, the Generals are owned by Walter Duncan. The New Jersey General. 1984, Donald Trump buys in. And when he gets in the lead up to buying the team, he loves the USFL, right? I love the USFL. This league is great, blah, 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 blah. As soon as he gets the Generals, as soon as they're his, we need to move to fall. We need to challenge the NFL directly. Football in the spring is a joke. He's saying this in meetings. In 1984, he has a secret meeting with Pete Rozelle that he pays for, Rozelle, the NFL commissioner, at the Pierre Hotel in New York. And he basically tells Rozelle, I don't need the USFL. I don't care about the USFL. What do I need to get an NFL franchise? And Pete Rozelle says to him, as long as I am affiliated with the NFL, as long as my family is affiliated with the NFL, you will have nothing to do with this league.
Wow.
He hated Donald Trump. And Trump then led the lawsuit against the NFL. They filed an antitrust suit.
So Trump was using the USFL as a segue to get to the NFL.
He didn't care about the USFL. Never cared about it.
Wow. You know, you were 10 in Mayo Pack, USFL fan. You know, I was born in 76. So I was, you know, when you look at 83, I was only 7 years old at that stage, Jeff. But, You know, I remember all the USFL players going into the National Football League and obviously the great influx of talent there. Why do you think the USFL, to where when you grew up during that era, it captured, besides the helmets, the branding, was it the style of football? What captured the imagination of the football fan?
I think you can sum it up. So Jim Kelly starred in the USFL.
Yep. Yeah, he was with the Gamblers.
That UC Gamblers.
Yeah, I remember.
I'll tell you something real funny real quick. He was about to sign with the Bills. So the Bills drafted him, and he told the Bills, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go to Buffalo. Mm. But they draft him anyway.
Right, right.
He's in the offices.
I know he won't want to go to Buffalo now either. Yeah. He's a...
he lives in Buffalo, actually.
I know. He loves the Bills, but right now they're not too good.
No. So, that's a good point. So he's in the Bills' offices because he kind of sees no way out. And George Allen, who's the general manager, Bruce Allen, who's the general manager of the Chicago Blitz at the time, now with the Redskins, finds out that Jim Kelly is in Buffalo negotiating with the Bills. And he calls the Bills' offices, and he asks to speak to Jim Kelly's agent. And he says, I'm a relative, and there's a family emergency.
Oh, geez.
And he gets the agent on the phone in the Bills' offices.
That's crazy.
And says to him, we both know Jim does not want to play in Buffalo. Walk out of there right now. I promise you the USFL will make him a happy man.
Oh, my God.
And they give him a choice of where he wants to go. He decides Houston. He signs with the Gamblers, and the Bills are livid.
Oh, so Jeff, you have tons of stories like this in your book, Football for a Buck. Just like this, these crazy stories, these stuff that you could connect, the connectivity of stuff today in the NFL, I guess. Speaking of today, I mean, how do you think the league would survive, or could they survive today?
It'd be tough. The NFL is such a monster now. Well, I think the original idea for the USFL was great. The original idea was a spring football league.
Right.
Regional drafts. Yep. So the Tampa Bay Bandits were getting players from Florida State. You know, like
the fan base is connected with those players already.
It was a really smart idea. I saw Jimmy playing in high school. Then I saw him at Florida. Now I'm going to continue with his career. It was a smart, keep salaries low.
Yep.
Right. Spring, they had the 2-point conversion before the NFL. They had instant replay before the 2-point. Like, they had these things, coaches challenge. And then they went to the fall and they bungled it. It was a really smart idea for a league.
I'm a few years older than both of you guys. So I don't remember how old I was. I was probably 14, 15 years old-ish when the USFL, and I watched it. I was a football player and a football fan. I loved it, like I said. And I remember some of these guys coming out of college, like I said about Herschel Walker or Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
You know, like success he had, Mike Rozier. These guys, man, they really, I'm telling
you. They signed three straight Heisman winners.
I know. It's amazing. People don't realize that. And it was, I felt it was good football. I mean, the stadiums weren't packed all the time, but it was an alternative to the NFL. And it was right after the NFL, which is nice. I wanted more football, and it was good.
I'll tell you the best story from the USFL, the best story. Is so Sam Mills, you guys remember
great
Sam
linebacker.
Mills.
Yeah, he went to
Montclair State.
Come on.
Mills, that's impressive. Sam Mills was cut by the Toronto Argonauts. He was cut by the Cleveland Browns. Sam Rattigliano was a coach at Cleveland Browns at the time. Carl Peterson was a GM of the Philadelphia Stars. Rattigliano, at the time, Sam Mills, no joke, was teaching photo and woodworking at East Orange High School.
I didn't know that. And he's about 5'9".
He's 5'9". Yeah. And Sam Rattigliano, coach of the Browns, called Carl Peterson because they weren't supposed to be working together, but guys would help guys. And he said, look, we cut this guy. You're going to see him physically. You're not going to want him. He said, put him in pads and give him a chance. Peterson's like, I'm not signing a 5'9 middle linebacker. He's like, just give him a shot.
Yeah.
He tells Jim Moore, because Jim Moore was a coach of the Stars.
Yeah.
I'm not signing a 5'9, just give him a shot. Sam Mills goes on to become, I think, a very borderline Hall of Fame
middle
linebacker.
Amazing linebacker.
Jeff, who did you enjoy talking to the most? What former player did you enjoy sitting down chatting with the most?
Well, I loved Steve Young because Steve Young is so.
Played for LA, right?
Yeah, played for the LA Express.
Yeah, he was
so $42 million.
I remember it.
$42 million contract.
That's, wow.
$42 million contract.
Yeah.
It was an annuity, though. It wasn't quite. Yeah. But he loves the USFL. Like, he loves the USFL. Mm. He told me, like, the last game, home game in LA Express history, they were playing at the LA Coliseum. They were drawing 6,000 people to a 90,000-seat stadium, right?
Yeah.
They had a Steve Young poster giveaway day for the first 10,000 fans. 7,000 showed up, right? So they played their last game because they couldn't fill at Pierce College in LA, a Division III school with 5,000 seats. It was Doug Williams, quarterback in the Arizona Outlaws, Steve Young, quarterback in the LA Express.
Yeah.
Two future Super Bowl MVPs, they meet at midfield after the game, and Doug Williams says to Steve Young, what the hell are we doing here?
You know, it is, when you look at the league, even though, you know, ultimately, obviously, by decisions that were made, it did not work. Jeff, it's amazing. It wasn't from a lack of talent. No. There were a lot of really good players.
Tons of great players
that played in the USFL that went on to then play in the National Football League. As you mentioned, Sam Mills, Steve Young, Doug Williams, Jim Kelly.
Reggie White, Kelvin Bryant.
I mean, you go up and down the line. Gary Clark. There's so many guys that went on to have an unbelievable NFL careers.
Wait, I'll tell you something interesting. I was at the gym a few weeks ago, and since I'm a geek, I was watching Doug Williams highlights. I was just watching Doug Williams. He was one of my favorite players. And Doug Williams, in the Super Bowl, when the Redskins beat the Broncos, threw four touchdown passes.
Yep.
One of the touchdown passes was to Kelvin Bryant, Philadelphia Stars. One was to Gary Clark, Jacksonville Bulls. One was to Ricky Sanders, Houston Gamblers. Doug Williams, Oklahoma Outlaws. Like, you want to talk about the impact of the USFL? Yeah.
That was in
the
Super Bowl. That's
great
it.
Point. Yeah. Great point. I've drawn a blank. Quarterback played for, was it the Breakers? Bobby?
Bobby Hebert. Played for Michigan Panthers and the Oakland Invaders.
Right, Invaders, right. I remember him. He was pretty good, man.
Do you remember who his star wide receiver was with Michigan?
No.
Anthony Carter.
That's right. Dude, I knew that.
Minnesota
that's right.
Vikings.
Right, Anthony Carter. That's right. That's right.
The league was loaded. Yeah. The league was Gil Brandt from the Cowboys, at the time he was asked by Sports Illustrated, like, how many guys from the USFL are going to wind up in the NFL? He goes, maybe a dozen could play in this league. End up with 200.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it is amazing the impact the USFL player. We're talking about Jeff Perlman, New York Times bestselling author. He's got a book out today. Pick it up. It's fantastic. Football for a Buck, the crazy rise and the crazier demise of the USFL. You know, Jeff, if you draw a comparison, obviously you had the XFL a number of years ago, and now you have it coming back once again, the Alliance for American Football. Do you think the NFL has become so big that there's not a spot for more football, or do you think more football it will be welcomed by the football fan?
It's a tough one. It is a tough one.
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Not only are you battling against football and the ubiquitousness of the NFL, this is going to sound corny, but I really think it's true. You're battling against screens. Like, you're battling against, do I really want to pay $12? Like, young people, when I was a kid, when you guys were growing up, like, do you guys want to go to an NFL game? Yeah, I want to go to an NFL game.
Of course. You don't have to.
Now, like, my nephews.
It's on your phone.
Yeah. If you said to my nephews, do you want to go watch a football game?
My son's 19, he's a college athlete,
right,
and played football. He has no desire.
Yeah, you want to hang home and watch it on the TV.
I'm going to text my friends. Yeah, we're going to play Fortnite. Yeah. And I think it's a tough battle.
A lot of distractions, right. Different world, for sure. So now, Moose mentioned the XFL, you know, years ago. Now they're going to come back in 2020. So when that happened, even though obviously we know it failed miserably the first go around, hopefully it doesn't this time come around in 2020. Were you a supporter of that? Were you a fan of it? Were you into it?
I'm a fan of I love seeing guys. I'm a fan of second chances in sports.
Right.
And to me, Tommy Maddox finding a spot with the Steelers after playing in the XFL
good point.
Was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
I love that. But did I think it was great football? I did not.
No. But I'm saying, were you a viewer?
Did
you
always root for stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you did, it's different. Yeah,
you know,
I'm the same way.
obviously, and he left us too soon, but I mean, Reggie White, the stories of White when he was at Tennessee, and certainly the stories of what we witnessed when he was a Philadelphia Eagle and then a Green Bay Packer. What about Reggie White's days in the USFL?
All right, so he played for the Memphis Showboats.
Yep.
His roommate was actually Walter Lewis, the former Alabama quarterback. And he signed a big contract. It was kind of a big deal. He wasn't as known as he probably would have been now. And there's a story, Reggie White, that I actually love. He was playing for Memphis, and he was a very religious man.
Yeah.
And at one point, he gets cut blocked by the opposing team's center. And Reggie White switches. He tells his nose guard, we're switching on this play. Next play. And he switches with him. And he looks at the guy, the center. I think his name was Marco Battaglia for the Birmingham Stallions. And he says, do you know Jesus? And he's like, what? And he goes, hike, bam, you do now.
That's a very good story.
That is a great story. That is a fantastic story. That is great. Guys, and you mentioned it. Why do you think that is in terms of, you mentioned the connection that Steve Young has with the USFL and, you know, that final game with him and Doug Williams being at. But guys that were in that league, even though it ultimately did not work, look back on those days, Jeff. And you hear over and over again the same. They loved it. They really enjoyed it. Why do you think they enjoyed it so much?
I kind of equate it to when you're on a really rocky flight, and afterwards you tell the story of the flight, and you're like, And the stewardess was flying through the air and the food was flying everywhere, right? And you're telling the story. Yeah. And at the time, it was kind of horrifying, right? But then afterwards, you're like, it's this electrifying story. I mean, just Young told me they're driving to the last game and the bus driver for the LA Express pulls over to the side of the road, stands up and says, somebody better pay me my $500. You know, there was
pay up
or we're not moving. And all the guys are scurrying around to get money. There was like my favorite player in the USFL is this guy, Greg Fields. He played out of Grand. He's the best story in the history of humanity. He played at Grambling, played for the Colts for a year. Then he played for the Atlanta Falcons. When he was with the Falcons, they cut him and he refused to leave training camp. So they brought an armed security guard to get him out. Okay. He never plays in the NFL again, but the LA Express signed him. John Hadle is the coach of the LA Express in 1984, a former quarterback. John Hadle was like, we're cutting Greg Fields. And his coaches are like, you got to be careful. This guy's kind of crazy. No, it's fine. They bring in Greg Fields and they say, Greg, I'm sorry. But Greg Fields pulls back his fist, punches John Hadle in the face. The coach, they end up hiring, this is no joke, Liberace security guard away from Liberace.
God,
they bring
him
to LA because Greg Fields is calling in death threats against the coach and the players and the offense coordinator. It gets even better. So Greg Fields is like being followed by the security team. They're tracking his car. This is the guy, he was guarding Liberace.
Did Liberace's security team dress like Liberace?
No, they did not. They did not. But I did interview Liberace's security guard, which is a great guy. So then Greg Fields, because the USFL is so messed up, everyone knows about this. It's in the newspaper, player punches coach. But the Gunslingers need defensive line help, San Antonio Gunslingers. So they sign Greg Fields.
Oh, my God.
He plays with the Gunslingers, okay? He shows up, and he's greeted by all the coaches wearing pads and helmets as a joke, like, don't hit me. The owner stops paying the players. His name was Clint Mangus. He stops paying the players. So Greg Fields is like, to hell with this. One day, he puts a baseball bat in the back of his car, follows the owner to his home, right? The owner lives in a mansion. Owner gets out. Greg Fields gets out. He gets a baseball bat from his trunk. He walks up to the owner and he says, you're going to effing pay me right now or we're going to have a problem. The owner goes, wait here. He goes in the house, comes back out with a paper bag filled with $10,000 in cash, gives it to Greg Fields. And he's like, are we good? And Greg Fields is like, yeah, we're good.
Oh my God.
He's never seen again. My son and I tracked down Greg Fields at a shopping mall in Sacramento
that
and sat
tremendous.
Down in a food court and had ice cream with him.
What's he doing?
He's unemployed. He's like 60-something. He kind of a little football beaten up. But
shocking.
But, you know, yeah, shocking. But
that is a crazy. He followed the owner home.
With a baseball bat.
With a baseball bat. The owner goes in and gets him 10 grand of cash in a paper bag.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is tremendous. Yeah. And you know, another guy, I was just looking. I forgot that he played. He actually played for the Generals, too. Maurice Cawthon.
Love him.
Yeah, great career for the
great
Giants.
Great player. You know, USFL gave the New York Giants Carthon, Sean Landetta, Chris Godfrey, and Bart Oates.
I forgot about Bart Oates. Yep. I knew that, too. Yeah, amazing. Great stuff and great job with the book, man. Football for a buck for sure, dude.
No, it really is. And it's out wherever you can get books. It's out. Today it's Football for a Buck, The Crazier Rise and The Crazier Demise of the USFL. Just a fantastic era of football, really was. And Jeff does a wonderful job of telling you about the personalities behind the game. He's been a New York Times bestselling author. I'm sure this is going to be well received as well, Jeff. And we know you're in New York for a week. We thank you for coming in studio here for a couple minutes. Talk a little bit about the book. It's a fantastic read, and you do a great job of telling everybody and giving everybody a feel of what that league was like, but also the personalities behind the helmets, which is important.
I just want to say also, so I moved to California four years ago. Being here, like, you're just reminded how freaking good the pizza is. It's such a joke.
Anywhere you go, as you know.
It's the water, Jeff.
Wait, I just want to say, we moved to California,
yeah.
And there's a place near us called New York Pizza.
No.
And I walked in, right? And I said, I'll take a slice. And he goes, we don't do slices.
Then just walk out, bro. You know
that. I did.
Out. Then
just
that's not out. New York
that's
pizza.
That's not New York. That's the New York pizza. No slices. We have cubes. Get the hell out. I'm out.
Well, Jeff, continued success, and thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.